I want to come this morning to the Word of God. And I want to come to read from Exodus chapter 33. We're going to read into chapter 34 of Exodus. And I hardly need to tell you that our land is in a bit of a mess. I don't need to tell you that. We're up to our ears in trouble. We're up to our ears in trouble in the mainland. Our land's in a mess. I don't need to tell you that our land, this little province, is in a mess. No question about that in my mind. And you say to yourself, what are we going to do? Well, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to turn to the book of Exodus chapter 33 and chapter 34. Because men and women, the answer is here. The answer is here. And if we can just get our eyes today upon the Lord Jesus, what a difference that will make. I want to come and read from the verse 12 of Exodus 33. Moses, the land here, or the people, the nation, as it is now, as they're on the edge of going out into the wilderness, the nation has had a traumatic experience. They've turned away from God, and God has judged the nation for it. And Moses now is pleading for the Lord to go with them. Verse 12, And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a clift of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away mine hand. And thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. And the Lord said unto Moses, Hew thee out two tables of stone, like unto the first. And I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before that mount. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up onto Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, If now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, Let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. We'll end our reading there at that verse 9, trusting that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. We're going to seek the Lord for a moment, and we want to ask the Lord's help as we come. We need the Lord's help to preach his word, but we also need the Lord's help to hear his word. And we need to ask God to open up these hearts of ours that he might reveal himself to us. Our Father, we thank thee again that we have thy precious word. We thank thee, Lord, that this word is thy truth. Lord, it's not contaminated with falsehood to the least degree. And, O God, we can look into its pages and see there the mind of God. And no matter what situation we face in life, the answer is found in this book. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt give us eyes to see those matters which we must learn. And, Lord, we pray that above all else this morning, the Lord Jesus himself might reveal himself to us. O Father, have mercy upon us and fill us, Lord, with the Holy Ghost. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail words which thou thyself shall give me must and shall prevail. Give prevailing words today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. There is always a danger of the believer in Christ straying into the wrong place and having themselves being outside the will of God. Now, this was the case in the life of Elijah the prophet. Elijah was a mighty man of God. But he found himself running from Carmel down to Beersheba, then a day's journey out into the wilderness, and eventually into the area of Horeb. And it was there, as Elijah sat in that cave, that God came to him in 1 Kings chapter 19 and the verse 9 and said, "What dost thou here, Elijah?" Elijah was in the wrong place with God. He should not have been in that cave. Many others in the Bible got into such a place, and they find themselves in a position that was displeasing to God. We think of our first parents, Adam and Eve. They got into the wrong place, and God said to them, "Where art thou?" They should not have been where they were. We think of David. He fell into that terrible sin, and he was in the wrong place. What can we say of Peter the Apostle when he denied the Lord? He was standing amongst the ungodly, worrying himself. He was in the wrong place. How good it is to be able to show from the Scriptures that God has a place for his people. We might say the right place. I turn you this morning to Exodus chapter 34 and the verse 2. We will read the verse together. God's word to Moses, "Be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount." Now I want you to look carefully at that verse and that simple little word "there." Now that indicates to me a place. A place that is specified by the Lord where he would meet with Moses. And at this particular juncture in Moses' experience, this was to be the right place for Moses at that moment. He says, "Moses, I want you to be there at that very location." Very interesting If you look at the life of Elijah, who we have just mentioned, and consider Moses here, both of these men were to be in the same place geographically. Elijah came to Horeb, and he was in the wrong place. And Moses, he was at Horeb, and he was in the right place with God. And of course, it's always very important to realize that one man might be in the right place with God in a ministry, and another man might think he should be in that place, and he would be in their own place. How vital it is to be in the right place with God. What is right for one may not be the right place for another. And I want to speak this morning upon the right place. The right place. Now, in coming to examine this passage of Scripture and the events that are connected to it, you will be aware that what happened to Moses historically will not happen again. Now, you need not expect to be climbing up Mount Sinai with a couple of tablets of stone under your hand to go and get the law of God. That's not going to happen to you, of course, and it's not going to happen to me. You see, Moses had received the law once before in chapter 32, and he had come down the mount. And Israel had turned away from God. And they had turned to idolatry, and they had made the golden calf, and they had bowed down to worship of it. And there was all sorts of immorality connected to that. It wasn't just merely the idolatry. It was all the immorality that was connected to it. And God was displeased with the people. And Moses had the two tables with the law written upon it in his hands. And he cast them down. And the law was broken before the people's eyes. Now that will not be repeated again by any other. Now further to this, we might say that Moses was in an actual geographical position to meet with the Lord. And we're not really concentrating upon that aspect this morning. Now, when we speak of being in the right place with the Lord, we're thinking about being in a certain relationship with God. That's what we want to think about. We're thinking about you and me being in the place where God's favour and blessing is upon us. Now, we use this incident in Exodus 34. And we draw the principles which are present here in the life of Moses as he was called up to the Lord in the mount. Now we can say with certainty that God designates a place for each one of us. And we might refer to that place, if you like, as there for us. God is a place for you. God is a place for me. And he would say to you today, present thyself there to me. You forget about everybody else now. And you forget about me because I'm only a mouthpiece. And you need to hear these words as coming from God. And he says, present thyself there to me. The right place with God. A number of things we want you to observe as we think about this. I want you to think, first of all, about the request of Moses as he gets into the right place. To be observed here is that the call for Moses to come up to the mount was a direct response to the desire that Moses had in chapter 33. Now, God has said here, present thyself there to me. But that really was initiated by Moses' desire to have God in his life. Moses had a fear of God, lest the Lord would not go with his people through the wilderness. Because of the sin of the nation, God had threatened at the beginning of chapter 33, he had threatened to send an angel. Moses didn't want an angel. Moses wanted the Lord. As verse 15 says, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. But the Lord had promised Moses in verse 14 that his presence would go with him. And Moses argues that God's presence with them is what distinguishes them from other people. Verse 16, he says, "Therefore, when shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us?" That's what distinguishes you from the world, is the fact that God is with you. And then God reaffirms that promise to Moses in verse 17. He says there, "Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken." Now, I want you to see here that after Moses received this confirmation, he desires in verse 18, and this is where we see the request of Moses, he desires in verse 18 to see the glory of God. I say that's one of the most wonderful requests that you'll find anywhere in the Bible. He said there in verse 18, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." And it is this request which eventually leads the Lord to call Moses up to present himself there. If Moses had been complacent or careless about the presence of God in his life and of that of the nation, I suggest that no invitation would have been issued to him. It was his longing to have a greater revelation and understanding of the Almighty which had God respond in this way. You see, Moses was an earnest seeker after God. You can't read the life of Moses and not come to that conclusion. We would not have time this morning to look at all the different times that Moses was in the presence of God, but he was always seeking after God. Chapter 33 is a good example of it. Many other passages are equally show the fact that Moses sought after God. And you know, dear believer in Christ, if we might just stop for a moment or two and think about ourselves, because these things are written in the book, not merely that we might say, "Oh, what a good man Moses was." No, they're written for our benefit. They're written that we might follow in the steps of Moses, that we might do that which he did. Now, I'm sure we can learn from this example. Do you want to be in the right place with the Lord? You say to yourself, "Well, I just want to be in the center of God's will. I want to do what's right." Well, if you want to have that experience, and if we want to have that experience, we would need to pay special attention to seeking after God. You see, this is our safeguard against being in the wrong place. Why do we sometimes, as believers, every one of us, why do we get into a pickle? Why do we get into the wrong place? Why do we get out of fellowship with God? Because we don't seek Him. That's why. Why is this nation in the mess that it's in? Because we're not seeking God as we ought to seek Him. That's why. You know, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy paths." No Christian, and alas, it cannot be said of any of us, absolutely, but no Christian should ever be outside the will of God if they are seeking the Lord as they should seek Him. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat the king is in bother. He's in trouble. Many nations have come against him, and he hardly knows what to do. Verse 12 of that chapter, "O our God," he says, "wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." He hardly knew where to turn, but there was one thing he did. He turned his eyes to the Lord and began to seek God. "Lord, we need to be in the right place here." Well, the Lord heard that cry, and He responded through a man called Jehazael. And Jehazael, in verses 15 and 16 of 2 Chronicles 20, he had this message for the nation. He says, "Hearken ye, all Judah, all ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God. And then he said this, tomorrow go ye down against them, behold they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Do you see what God is saying here through this servant of his? He's telling the people, I want you to go down to the end of the brook. I have a place for you to stand, and I'm directing you to that place. It was the right place at that moment for Jehoshaphat and the nation. But Jehoshaphat got to that place because he sought the Lord. And dear brethren and sisters in Christ, we need to be seeking the Lord in these times. I have no other answer. I have no fancy solution for the troubles of our land. None whatsoever. The only solution I have is this. Oh, we need to cry to God. And God will put us in that place and bring us and keep us in that place if we continue to seek Him. That's what Moses discovered. There was this request to be in the place. And other men in the Bible, and we could quote many of them, Samuel, David, many others, were directed to the right place because they sought God. Read 1 Samuel chapter 22 and chapter 23, and you'll see how David was directed to various places. And do you know that every time he was directed to those places, he sought the God, sought the Lord first. The request of Moses. That's why God said, present thyself there to me. But I want to come in the second place here to consider the response of the Lord in this matter of being in the right place. Chapter 34 and verse 2 presents us with God's response. Moses wants to be in the presence of God. He wants to see the glory of God. Now the Lord in his response sets down certain rules if Moses was to come to the right place. Now certain of these commands that were given to Moses and which God laid down have connections with Moses in his actual work. Yet there are principles which filter through to us as we would seek to be in the right place with the Lord. Now let's see some of these things that relate to Moses as well as to ourselves. Let's see the response of the Lord. Let's see what God said and how he led Moses right up to that place. I want you to observe the personal nature of being in the right place. The Lord told Moses that he must come up alone. Verse 3, no man shall come up with thee. No one else was to be there as God met with this servant of his. This was to be an intimate, a personal encounter with the Lord. And I think that's important. It's a very simple lesson, isn't it? It's important to remember that we must seek out for ourselves a proper relationship with God. God deals with us as individuals. Now, it's true that the Lord commands us to be united with each other and to gather together in the fashion we have done this morning, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And that's right and proper. But dear friend, you are in this meeting this morning. Yes, you're in as a part of the collective body of Christ. But you have a personal responsibility to be in personal communion with God. And this is the right place for you. Sometimes we can be looking over someone else's garden fence and see all the difficulties and say, how are we going to unravel that difficulty? It's all your business, of course. And all the time we need to be putting our own house in order and make sure our relationship with God is right. There needs to be a personal encounter with God. And you know, each of us must have, we might say this to those in the meeting today who are not converted, each of us must have a personal saving faith in Jesus Christ. My salvation will do you absolutely no good, sir. You need to be saved yourself. This church, I would take it that the majority of people in this building this morning belong to the Lord. If you're unconverted, all their salvation will do you no good. You need to have a personal faith in Jesus Christ. The story of Judas is a very solemn story. Judas was chosen to be with the apostles for 3.5 years or thereabouts, or for 3 years. He was amongst the disciples, and yet he was far from God. And just the eye that was looking, the eye of the people that were looking upon those 12 that went about, would not have been able to detect the fact that Judas was not a true Christian. And the disciples didn't even see it. For whenever the Lord said, "One of you shall betray me," every one of them said, "Is it I?" Didn't even see Judas. And there he was, tucked away amongst them, hidden in the midst of the fellowship of the disciples, and he was a child of the devil. Dear friend, you need to have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ today if you're going to gain salvation. Nicodemus was told personally of his need. He came to the Lord Jesus by night. John 3, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee." And that's what you need to do before you do anything else in your life. You need to get right with God. You need to be saved. You need to be born again. And it's something that you have to do personally. We think of 1 Timothy 4:16. We might take it to ourselves. I take it to myself. Paul said to young Timothy, "Take heed unto thyself." You may remember the late Ivan Thompson, who passed away just over 10 years ago. Pastor Ivan Thompson. And I remember him saying to me, he says, "I have a mirror in the bathroom." And he says, "I have the words written over the mirror, the top. There are enough faults to last you all day in here." And I thought that was a good one. And you know, I can look in the mirror every morning and the faults are just staring at me. Take heed unto thyself. There needs to be that personal relationship with God. That's what we're learning here, as God responds to Moses. But then there's something else. We see the obedience that was demanded of Moses that was to be in the right place. Again, a very simple thought and truth, but it's sitting on the surface for us to see. One absolute necessity, if Moses was ever to reach that right place, he had to go in obedience. The Lord commanded him to come up for a start in verse 2. He said, "There, come up. Come up." Again in verse 1, he had to bring 2 tables of stone. That was another command. And then in verse 2, he had to be ready to come up. There had to be that readiness of heart and willingness to come up to the mount. And verse 2 again, he had to come up in the morning. Now you come to verse 4, and we see here how well Moses followed the instructions which God gave to him. Just look at verse 4 for yourself. Let your eye read the scripture itself. "And he hewed 2 tables of stone." They go on to the first. "And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up to the mount as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the 2 tables of stone." So Moses obeyed the word right to the T, not deviating in the least. I cannot expect to be in the right place with God if there's disobedience in my heart to the least degree. I must follow the commands of God's word even when I cannot work out the reason why. I must follow it. It's my business to follow the Lord. And I will not be in the right place if I disobey God in any of His commands. I think they're here as Moses carries the tables of stone up to the mount. It's a very vivid picture God's giving us here. He carries these 2 tables of stone under his arm. He must have been very conscious of the fact that he was going to receive those solemn commands which he had received before. You think of Moses' mind here. I've got these tables of stone. At this moment there's nothing written on them, but he knew what was written on the first table. And he's going up now to receive the word of God, these commands which have to be obeyed. And he's going up conscious of that fact. You know, it is good for us to carry the law, not so much under our arms, but having it inscribed in our soul. And this is the best way to ensure our fellowship with the Lord. Psalm 119, 105. I'm sure someone could just fire that verse back at me. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Do you want to be kept free from the polluting influences of sin that are so rampant in our nation in so many ways? Well, here's the way to do it. Hide the word of God in your heart, and that will keep you from sin. And with the word of God in the heart, we will always have the means of preparation here. As mentioned, we will be ready for the service. I see Moses going up in the morning. I think there's a truth there for us. You know, Moses, in going up in the morning, if God had told him to come up in the morning, he was giving the maximum time to God. He wasn't going to say, well, I'll go up at dinner time. I'll go up at 12 noon. I'll go up whenever the afternoon's over. No, he's going to be up there and he's going to give the maximum benefit with his in fellowship with God. Let us be ready from the first dawn of the day to be in the right place with the Lord. And that was the response of the Lord, obey me. But then we might come a little further, and I want you to see here the complete dedication that the Lord demanded. And we'll just use the words that are in verse 2, and we'll let the words themselves do the work for you, because we don't really need to emphasize too much. It says, there present thyself there to me. Isn't that a wonderful expression? To me. To me. Present yourself there to me. The Lord's wanting dedication from Moses. I'm certain the Lord wants us today to present ourselves to Him without reserve. You know, this is a truth that is expounded by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, presented to God, dedication to the Lord. And that's what God's asking of us today. But yet another thing we see here in this response, and it's a very important thing. I suppose it brings us really to the very heart of what we want to say. Whenever Moses was called to come up into the mount to present himself in that place with God, he was shown the need for a mediator. He needed one to stand with him, or stand in his place, as it were, between him and the Lord, if he was going to be in the right place with God. I bring you to chapter 33. We come to verse 20. He wants to see the glory of God, and God says, there thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Now, we need to remember here that God in his essential being doesn't have a face. He doesn't have hands. He doesn't have bodily parts. But God uses the parts of the body here to show how that he does reveal himself to us. He comes down to the level of Moses. He says, thou canst not see my face. In other words, you can't see that most glorious part of me. You can't see my face. The face is that which tells us about a person. Whenever you meet someone, you look at their face. And sometimes it can attract you. And sometimes it can repel you. The face tells you what the person is. It is really the character that is shining forth from that person in many ways. So the Lord say, you can't see me in my full glory, Moses. Verse 20. And then verse 21, the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I want you to think about the cleft of the rock here. And that's really what the Lord is telling Moses. Moses, this is where I'm going to meet with you, in the cliff of the rock. It was a covering and a shelter to enable God's child to see something of God's glory. And it was there, God says, you'll see my back part, or you'll certainly not see my full glory, but you'll see something of my glory. And you know, this here would remind Moses of something. It would remind Moses of the holiness and purity of God and his own sinfulness. And he says, I can't stand before God without this place to hide. You know, to be in the right place with God is to have one to stand between us and him. We need the cleft of the rock, and we have that cleft of the rock. All our service and worship must be carried on in the shadow of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. And that's where I'm hiding today. I'm hiding in him. And under these conditions, the Lord would bring us right into the right place with himself. I cannot be in the right place with God without Jesus Christ, my mediator. My service stands for nothing. My labors are worth nothing, except I am doing that labor through the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his blood that I'm resting on. It's his blood that purifies my faulty works. I cannot see his glory except in the face of Jesus Christ. But I want, in the final place this morning, as we think about being in the right place, I want you to think about the results there are in being in the right place. What miseries and pain comes to the one who enters the wrong place? But what blessings and bounty comes to the person who finds the place which God chooses for them? Moses, in obeying God here, discovers many wonderful things. Why? Because he was in the right place. The first thing we will see here about the first result we will see, that God meets Moses in this place. Who can gauge that blessing? If God was to come to you today and just put his hand on your life and reveal himself to you, I tell you, friend, that would make a difference throughout the rest of this week. I want you to come to verse 5 of Exodus 34. And it says, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. Here we're back to the word there. What did the Lord say in verse 2? Present thyself there. And in verse 5, it says, the Lord descends and he stood with him there. Just came to where Moses was. That made up for the visit to the mount. James 4:8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. So that was the first thing that Moses discovered. Something else here, Moses learns much of God in this place. Verses 5 through to 7, the Lord began to reveal himself, and it says there that he proclaimed the name of the Lord to Moses, the name of the Lord being all that the Lord was. And verse 6, the Lord proclaimed, or passed by and before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. Oh, the Lord begins to declare to Moses his glory by explaining who he was and what he would do. And why did Moses get this revelation? I'll tell you why. Because he was in the right place. And the more we're in the right place with God, then the more we will learn of him, and God will show himself to us. Did the Lord show himself to you this morning when you were reading the Bible? Did you see the Lord Jesus? You know, I always say, far as I am concerned, I always say that if when I come to the Bible, I can't see Christ, I have failed. There's something wrong. I haven't been in the right place that day. I haven't seen what God would have revealed to me. And it's all because of my own hardness of heart, but not so Moses here. God reveals himself to Moses. Furthermore, here, being in the right place, Moses' heart is humbled before the Lord, and he seeks God on the basis of what he has learned. You should read verses 9, or verse 8, that says, Moses made haste and bowed his head and worshipped, or bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. He was humbled before God when he got into that right place. You know, being in the right place with God and having a vision of his holiness doesn't make us feel somehow we're more holy than ever. No, it makes us feel more wretched than ever. There's a notion abroad, the more holy I am, well, I'll be able to stick my chest out. I'm a great fellow, not so. It'll humble us right down into the dust. We'll see how sinful we are. How sinful we are. And that's what happened to Moses when he got into the right place. And of course, there followed on more information as verse 10 onwards says, God gave him a further revelation as he humbled himself. And that's what the Christian life is about, and being in the right place. God reveals himself to us. We humble ourselves and God brings us into a deeper place and leads us on. I finish with this. One of the principal results of this day's experience of Moses was this. Moses returns to the people in the camp at the end of the chapter from verse 29 onwards. Didn't take time to read it, but he comes to the camp again, and part of the glory of God was attached to him, for his face shone. And the people were afraid of Moses when they saw his face shine. You know, this is what results from being in the right place with the Lord. You know, if we were in the right place with the Lord, the ungodly in this land would fear us. I'm not worried about political things in this land. If we could just get into the right place with God, because I tell you, the wicked would just be driven back. You know, we hear about these suicide bombers in the Middle East, and wherever else, Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq, or whatever else. And we say to ourselves, how could that ever be sorted out? I tell you, friend, if God put the fear of God into those men, there wouldn't be a thing they could do. And if they came up against the man of God whose face was shining with the glory of God, they couldn't do a thing. This people were afraid of Moses. Why? Because he was in the right place with God. Be ready in the morning, it says. Come up in the morning onto Mount Sinai and present thyself there to me. May God, by his grace today, have us present ourselves to the Lord, that we might be in the right place for him. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. We're going to turn in our hymn book to the hymn number 637. 637 on page 433. Here from the world we turn Jesus to seek. Here may his loving voice tenderly speak. We're going to stand together as we sing. Our God and Father, we thank Thee this morning for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, Father, for all that He has done for us. And we ask, O God, that Thou wilt apply Thy truth to this heart of mine. O Lord, we could be away from Thee tonight. We could get away from Thee, Lord, before this day is out. But Lord, we pray that we might be in that place where Thou art found. Lord, keep us there. Deliver us from sin. And Lord, help us to walk with Thee. Glorify Christ. Bless this people. Encourage them. And O Father, bring them back tonight with Thy power upon them. And bless Thy servant as he comes to minister Thy word. And O God, be near to us now as we part the one from the other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.